podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
John 12, verse 37. And this morning we'll read through verse 43. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so they can neither see with their ears nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Now, I don't want to get too sidetracked. I'm going to stop for just a second there and say, how amazing is it that Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before the time of Jesus, and yet Scripture tells us that he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Hundreds of years before Jesus came on the scene. At the same time, the people of Israel who saw Jesus face to face and saw his signs and wonders and miracles and heard his teaching in person did not believe. Yet Isaiah, hundreds of years before, saw that glory. Verse 42. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning that you might apply these words to our hearts. May it never be said of us that we desire human praise more than we desire your praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I want to post about how great this coffee is, but I can't think of a funny way to say it.
This post is like a page long. How do I shorten this?
Just take out all the vowels.
No.
Seriously.
Dude, are you gonna eat those or just take pictures?
Who's the cutest baby on the internet?
Is this guy always on vacation?
Costa Rica vacay.
Do you just like my post about my uncle dying?
Office pic.
No.
Hold still. I'm vining you.
Why are you Instagramming lamps?
How did he get so many followers? He's a dentist.
Hey guys, you on Twitter? Follow me. You just got 2 retweets.
Sometimes I want to move to another country where I wouldn't have to deal with this stuff.
Is suffice para decir que estoy achando?
Hashtag photo of the day.
Hashtag I quit. Just kidding.
Hashtag multitasking.
Hashtag squirmworm.
Hashtag road trip dudes.
Not while you're driving, man.
Hashtag yoloi.
Is anybody even going to read this?
Bestie.
Coffee friends.
Mini bagels.
Sush. Unsubscribe.
What's up, Facebook?
Oh, look at my new shoes. Unfollow.
I love coffee.
We're going viral.
I don't care about your dog. I don't care about your lunch.
Neil Archie.
Nobody cares about your tree pics.
Driving selfies.
Glaciers.
Desert.
Third world.
Nobody cares.
I'm going to hide all of you.
Dude, I made the popular page.
All right, so I had to play that for you this morning because that kind of shares the truth of social media in a funny way. I mean, unfortunately, the video is an advertisement for state.com, which is simply another platform for social media, but it kind of illustrates an important point about our culture. The only thing more tragic to our culture than being poor is being unknown. You know, in our society, being anonymous is a terrible thing. Everybody wants to be known. So many people wake up in the morning dreaming about how to make a name for themselves. How am I going to get myself out there today? How am I going to promote me today? How to become famous? How to jack up their approval ratings? How to be seen? And there are legitimate ways of doing that. You know, it's an important thing in this world to promote your business, to promote what you do in order to get business. But we all know that there are also unhealthy ways of getting attention too. so we need to be careful. We all remember that kid in elementary school. Some of you here may have been that kid in elementary school who didn't get much attention at home. You remember that kid? And so when he got to the classroom, he did whatever it takes to get attention from somebody. He quickly found out that it takes much less time and effort to get negative attention than it does to get positive attention. Right? To get positive attention, you need to work hard. To get negative attention, you just got to act out. And so he fell into these patterns of misbehaving until he got the attention that he was looking for. And in fact, he got all the attention he could handle. Attention from the principal, attention from the teachers. He became notorious. His name was passed from teacher to teacher throughout the years. Oh, you got to look out for that one. His folder got thicker and thicker and thicker until it became a part of his permanent record. Until later in life, he began to have trouble with the law. Until later in life, he began to try to please his peers and fell into even deeper and darker ways of getting attention. Well, that same kid grew up and became a celebrity. Right? Many of our celebrities share that same story. Right? They do shocking things in order to get attention, in order to be in the spotlight, in order to get some sort of press. They whether it's good attention or bad attention, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to them anymore. As long as somebody's paying attention, as long as they're getting clicks, as long as somebody is watching, the worst thing in the world is to be anonymous. Now, not all of us fall into that trap. I know that there are some of us who love anonymity, right? In fact, if you talk to celebrities, they work all their life to get in the spotlight, and then once they get into the spotlight, what do? They put on hats and sunglasses and try to hide because they realize, hey, this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So not all of us fall into that trap, but all of us enjoy a little praise from time to time. There's no discussing that. We all like a little bit of attention, a little bit of praise from time to time. And we crave that in our hearts, right? But it can become unhealthy to where our flesh begins to crave what it was never designed to crave. All of us like to be recognized. But the problem comes when recognition becomes the passion of our life. And that's what we're after, first and foremost, above all. You take a selfie and you post it on Instagram or Facebook or wherever you post those kind of things, and 2 hours later, you check and nobody has liked it. And then you check your Wi-Fi. Is my Wi-Fi working? What's going on here? You make sure it got published. Right? Maybe this thing didn't go out there. I mean, it's been 2 hours. Why isn't anybody liking my picture? Maybe they don't like me. And you see, that's how it works. Looking for love in all of the wrong places. But popularity and approval from others is not all bad. We've been talking on Sunday mornings about other gods, right? Now, we're not talking about Buddha and Hare Krishna and Allah and the other gods of other religions, because most of us, to be honest, don't have a problem with those other gods. But Satan has other gods, idols, that he uses in our world to get our attention. We've talked about affluence. We've talked about leisure and how these are good things, right? It's good, but they make horrible gods. Well, the same is true of the pursuit of popularity. It is good on one hand, but makes a horrible god. So let's look at the good of popularity first. First of all, we know this from the Word of God. A good reputation is of great value. It's good to have a good reputation. That's something we should strive for. It's something that we should desire and want. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 said, "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." You want to be respected. One of the byproducts of working hard and doing a good job in this world is you receive recognition. And recognition can be a reward for doing the right thing. So we should all strive for a good reputation, which is earned by consistent, praiseworthy living. Nothing wrong with a good reputation. Not only is popularity good because a good reputation is of great value, but also positive regard draws the lost. That God would sometimes use our good reputation and our popularity in order to draw people to himself. We read about this in Acts chapter 2 in the early church. It says that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church was just doing what the church does. But in the midst of doing what God had called them to do and being who God had called them to be, people on the outside began to notice their life, and they liked them. Not Facebook kind of likes, but they enjoyed the favor of the community and the culture around them because they were doing the right thing. And as a result of that, they were adding folks to the church on a daily basis. We know then that positive regard draws the lost. God uses that in our lives. The Bible teaches us that Christians are to be a good influence on the culture, right? We are to shine our light in the darkness for all the world to see who God is. We're to live godly lives in public so that when they see us, they will see Jesus on display. But there's a fine line, understand, between enjoying favor with people that gives you a platform to share the Lord and seeking favor from people that stops with you and defines your sense of self-importance. There's a difference between the two. Popularity is good because a good reputation is of great value. Positive regard draws the lost, but also because deflected renown feeds God's glory. Now, what do I mean by that? Deflected renown. Well, it's a good thing when we are applauded because of our accomplishments and our character and the good things in our life. It's a good thing to be applauded and praised and thanked and loved because of those things, as long as we deflect the spotlight from ourselves to God. That's what we were created to do. Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness." Not to us, Lord. Now, how many times have we said that? The words of John the Baptist, "I must decrease, he must increase." Not me, Lord. Don't shine the spotlight on me, Lord, but you take the glory because it belongs to you. We read in the book of Acts that the apostles were brought in to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. And what happened there? The high priest and the Sanhedrin says, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." What name? The name of Jesus. "We told you not to use that name Jesus around us anymore. We told you not to go out into public and talk about this Jesus who you say is risen from the dead. Don't do it anymore. And yet, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. You won't stop using the name of Jesus. You won't shut up." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Our first allegiance is to God, not to humans. So, notoriety can be a good thing because it gives us a platform from which we can point others to Jesus. That's a gift to have the ability to do that. It always amazes me whenever I find out about a celebrity, a movie star, or a rock star that has become a Christian, right? Because whenever a celebrity, a movie star, or a rock star becomes a Christian, Christians start to get excited about that. You know, they start to share it, talk to each other about it. "Did you hear about so-and-so? It's Christian." I wish we would get excited about every name that's written in the book, not just the celebrity names that are written in the book. Because I know that the angels in heaven rejoice over every name that is written in the book. But for some reason, we get excited about celebrities becoming Christians. That's just the way that we're wired for some reason. Because for some reason or another, we think that the legitimacy of our belief in Christ might receive even more play, more legitimacy, when we can tell our friends that some famous person believes like we do. They believe like I do. Isn't that great? That can be a good thing. But you know what? Christians have been known to love Christian celebrities to death, to put them in the spotlight way too early and to promote them and to find out later that they're just human, just like us. I remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, when Bob Dylan became a Christian. Y'all remember that? Man, Bob Dylan was like at the height of his career, maybe starting to come down the hill a little bit, okay? But all of a sudden, people were promoting the fact, Bob Dylan's a Christian. Did you hear? Bob Dylan came to know the Lord. And he came out with 1, 2, 3 CDs, I guess they were cassette tapes back then, of music that was Christian, right? Music where he talked about you got to serve somebody, you got to change your way of thinking. He had a CD called Saved by the Blood of the Lamb. And he sang these gospel songs, and everyone's like, this is awesome. Bob Dylan's a Christian. He would sit and give his testimony during concerts, and people would get up and walk out because they didn't want to hear that. They came to hear Blowing in the Wind or whatever from the 60s. Instead, he was singing this Christian stuff. Everybody loved it in the Christian community. And then, crash. Come out with a statement, oh, I'm not Christian anymore. That was just a phase I went through. That was just an experiment. That was something I tried. I'm going back to where I was before. Sad thing. I don't know where Bob Dylan is today in his faith. Fame can be a good thing, but it can turn sour real quick. So popularity can certainly be a good thing for a number of reasons, as we see. And there's more reasons than just those that popularity is good. Right? The problem is when we seek popularity as our first passion in life, when that is what we want more than anything else, is to be known and to be loved and to be approved, right? Then it falls apart because popularity is not a very good God. So let's talk about the God of popularity. It is, according to Proverbs 29:25, it is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you, but if you trust the Lord, you are safe. Now, other translations talk about it's a trap. Fear of what others think about you is a trap. But if you will trust in God, you will be safe. Why is that? That's because you become more consumed with what others think of you than what God thinks of you. And that is a trap. Those who bow down to the idol of fame, first of all, do so because they're looking for love. But God created each and every one of us with a need for love. We want to be loved, right? That is how we were designed. You would not be fully human if it were not for that desire to be known and to be loved and to have approval for who you are. That's built into our DNA. But when you bow down to the idol of fame, and you are seeking love from a very unpredictable source, a very fickle source. You may have what feels like love today from your people, your public, the media, your friends, whoever it is, those who follow you. Whenever you're famous, you may experience what you feel is love. But what happens? What happens when the opinion changes? What happens when your 15 minutes of fame are over? What happens when you stumble and fall and make a mistake, because we all do? What happens when your fair weather friends disappear? What happens when the God of popularity doesn't care about you anymore? You will be loved and adored in this world for whatever it is that you have to offer people. Right? You will be loved and adored, and they will get on your side and be behind you. But when the time comes that you can no longer deliver, where will your God of popularity be then? He just drops you. He just lets you go. The love will be gone, and you'll be all alone with only those who truly love you unconditionally. And let me tell you, it's surprising how few of those people exist anymore in our world. Those who truly love you for who you are unconditionally. Just think back to high school if you question this. Think about when you were in high school and there was always that popular crowd. I don't know about you, but I was not a part of that popular crowd. Maybe you were, okay? Consider that a good thing, right? But I think back to high school and think about those who were in the popular crowd, and then think about how long that popularity from high school lasted in their life, and see how short-lived it really was as they graduated from high school and came face-to-face with the real world. Popularity is a horrible god. Those who bow to the idol of fame, first of all, are looking for love. And not only are people pleasers looking for love, but also they are addicted to approval. Right? We just want to approval. The god of popularity will convince you that the only way you can be happy in this life is to be approved by others. Right? And you fall into that trap. Approval becomes your god. You do whatever it takes to win approval. You do whatever others want you to do in order to gain their approval. And that's a difficult way to live in this world. Whoever you are with will determine your purpose when approval is your god. You will live when you're with your boss to please your boss. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with pleasing your boss, okay? But if you live for the approval of your boss alone, you'll get in trouble. When you're with your friends, you will live to please your friends and to get their approval. You will live to change the opinion of those who disapprove of you. And the one person you will not live to please in that scenario is God, as you seek to please everyone else in your world. And you'll find out that it's impossible to please everyone in this world. You can't do it. You just can't please everyone. No matter what you do in this world, somebody's going to be upset. So why put yourself in that trap? You will be so busy seeking approval from others, you will never enjoy the approval of God. And that's what our scripture reading this morning from John chapter 12 demonstrates. As Jesus was ministering and teaching, there were many who were convinced by him. They wanted to believe in him. In their hearts, they believed in him. They were on board with him, but their bodies didn't follow their hearts. Why was that? Well, because John chapter 12, verse 42 says they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. They were not willing to follow Jesus because of the implications that they might lose their status and their reputation and their position inside the synagogue. They might show up at the synagogue one day and they'll say, hey, there's that guy that's been with Jesus. Kick him out of here. Kick him. We don't like him anymore. We don't approve of him anymore. Kick him out of here because he's been with Jesus. And so many people live their lives this way. We're so worried about what others will think if we follow Jesus visibly where others can see it. So worried about what others will think that we don't follow him in the way that we should. And this is sad when we're so addicted to the approval of others that we turn against God. And we hide our faith because we're afraid of what they might think. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, we're not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. We live to please God. Yet, when you're addicted to approval and fame becomes your idol, the opposite is true. God takes a third row seat, okay? Think of the family minivan now. God's in the third row. You're sitting in the second row. And those from whom you seek approval and popularity, the opinions of others do the driving. They're doing the driving. They're taking you where they want you to go. They're making you who they want you to be. Their expectations are forming what you do in this world, and you're just along for the ride, and God, he's in the far back seat, and he has no say whatsoever. So those who bow down to the idol of fame are looking for love, they're addicted to approval, and they are sold out to celebrity. It's amazing what people will do in order to be famous, right? President Truman, he's not on the ballot this year, so don't write his name in, but he actually dropped the bomb on Japan, so he might not be the best choice either. But fame is a vapor. Popularity is an accident. Riches take wings. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Those who cheer today may curse tomorrow. Harry Truman understood that. And only one thing endures. Character. Character. Now, I don't agree completely with President Truman. I think it's a great quote. I think faith in the Lord is what truly endures. I think our God endures forever and ever. Character is an important thing, but apart from godliness, character doesn't last either. But fame, popularity, riches, the applause of others, it disappears. What really endures is our relationship with God and the godliness that comes from that life. In the day in which we live, it seems that people are more interested in celebrity than they are character. Isn't that true? They would rather be known than to be respected. They're willing to forfeit their character in order to exchange it in for celebrity. They're willing to be made fools in order just to make a splash, just a quick splash. I just want to be famous for a few minutes, even if only for just a small amount of time, just to be known and to be loved and to be approved and to walk down the street and have people pat me on the back and know my name. Jesus once said, "How can you believe since you accept glory from one another but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" If you're seeking glory for yourself, you're standing on the outside of the will of God. There's another way to say it. If you are seeking glory for yourself, and that is your design in life and desire, you are standing on the outside of the will of God. God is the only one who deserves glory. And as long as you receive it and keep it, you're stealing it from Him, because He alone deserves the glory. So this leads us to some truths that put popularity in its proper place. Where are we going to put popularity today? Well, let's put it in its place. First truth is there is room for only one God, right? Slide off the throne. Get off the throne. There is room for only one God. Those who seek praise and glory from others are usurping the throne of God for themselves. Now, I get this picture in the Old Testament about the angels in heaven and how beautiful they are, and how if you were to see one of those angels, you would fall on your face before the angel and you would be afraid for your life. When they're seen by humans freak out because they're so afraid, because the angels are so pure and beautiful. But the angels in heaven, we're told, always deflect that glory to God. So around the throne, these beautiful angels are flying, and you could get distracted by them. But these angels are saying the whole time, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Over and over again, they give the glory to God and they praise God. Would that we humans might have the same attitude as those angels, that we would get our rear ends off of God's throne and start living our lives to bring Him praise in all that we say and all that we do. To stop seeking approval from others and to start giving approval completely to God. There is room on the throne for only one. Get off the throne and give it to God. Another truth that puts popularity in its proper place is you are fully loved by Him. If you're looking for love, and that's what you want, and that's what you desire, is just to be known and to be loved, God does it. He's all you need. But God knows you deeply and completely. He knows you more than anyone else. You remember in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, suddenly it says in that they were naked and they were ashamed. That previously they were naked and they were unashamed, but now they were naked and they felt shame, right? God knows us. He knows the naked truth about each and every one of us. He knows everything we have ever done, every thought we have ever thought, every time we have ever sinned against Him, all of the things that we wouldn't want anybody else in our world to know, because it would destroy us. We just know it would destroy us if people knew who we really are. God knows all of that, and He still loves us completely. We are fully loved. He would send His Son to die on the cross for us, even though He knows all of that. Despite our sin, He loves us. How beautiful is that truth? You are fully loved by Him. Let's go back to that definition of an idol from Tim Keller that we've been looking at in this series. An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give. If we're looking for love and popularity and acceptance and approval from anywhere other than God, we're looking in the wrong place. And we are bowing down to another God. Not the God of the Bible. Not the God who created us. Not the God who loves us and sent his son for us. We're bowing down to the opinion of other people. The desire for popularity. Thirdly, another truth that puts popularity in its proper place is in Christ you are fully approved by him. You are loved by him, and in Christ, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are fully approved by God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18 says, it is not the person who commends himself who is approved, but the person the Lord commends. Now, how do you receive the commendation of the Lord? Right? There's not a one of us in this room that deserves any commendation from God, believe it or not. There's nothing that we can do in order to please God fully, except to put our faith in the one who pleases God fully, who is Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the full approval of our God because he doesn't see our sin anymore. Instead, he sees the record of his son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus walked the face of this earth, he said, your approval means nothing to me, to the folks. Your approval means nothing to me. Wouldn't that be great if we were able to say that? Now, not with an attitude, okay? Don't say it with an attitude. You know what? I could care less what you have to say because everybody I've ever met in my life, I've had some friends who've said this, everybody I've ever met in my life who has said, I don't really care what other people think about me, they deeply cared about what other people thought about them or they never would have said such a stupid thing, right? They care. We all care. But Jesus said, your approval means nothing to me. Now, he wants people to believe in him and love him for salvation. Okay, understand that. But what he meant by that was, look, I'm going to live my life the way that God has called me, the Father has called me to live my life and do exactly what he wants me to do, whether you approve of it or not, because that is who God has called me to do, to be, and that is what God has called me to do. I'm going to the cross, Jesus said. I'm headed to the cross to give my life for people. I'm not here to get approval from people. I'm here to sacrifice myself and pour myself out for the people. So Jesus didn't need the approval of man because he had the full approval of God the Father in heaven as he did the work that God called him to do. When you realize that you are fully loved and approved by God, it frees you up to be yourself, to serve the purpose for which God made you and placed you here to begin with, and to stop checking how many likes you have, right? You have the most important like in all of the universe. God says, I love you, and I gave my son for you. And you don't have to prostitute yourself to the world to get attention, because you already have a faithful love in God. Paul David Washer puts it this way, why would we want fame when God promises us glory? Why would we be seeking the wealth of the world when the wealth of heaven is ours? Why would we run for a crown that will perish with time when we're called to win a crown that is imperishable? And I think I would add to that, why do we search for love and approval and a popularity in this world when God stands with his arms open wide to receive you as his own beloved child? It should be good enough for you. It should be good enough to me to be popular before the Lord in his presence. I have this picture in my mind of a Major League Baseball player who gets up to bat and he strikes out with the bases loaded and the game is over. And as he walks back to the dugout with his head hung down, the home fans have had it with him. They're yelling and they're jeering and they're booing and they're screaming. Go home, you bum! Earn that contract, you idiot, you moron! And they yell at him as he walks back. But then he looks up into the fifth row, and seated there in the fifth row is his wife and two small children, and they're beaming with pride and love for him because they know him and they love him and they accept him unconditionally. And it's not about whether he strikes out or whether he hits a home run. It's about who he is. And it doesn't matter in the end what happens on the field. when he can go home to that place of love. And this is how we should feel about our relationship with the Lord. You do your best. You seek God's will for your life. And no matter what anyone else in this world thinks, you know that he loves you, and that's enough for you. Because your popularity is not your God. Jesus is your God. And he loves you like no other for all eternity, and he has proven it time and time again. And ultimately, he has proven it on the cross. And this morning, we come to the table to remember that sacrifice of love that he made for us. We have his full love and his full approval, and it's proven right here. So I'm going to ask our deacons if they would come forward as we prepare to take from this table. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as they come. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you, O Lord, that before your throne, because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross, we are fully approved. We have nothing left to prove to you, God, because Jesus did the work on the cross. O Lord, may our faith in you increase. May our desire to please you in our lives and you alone, Father, continue, because we are already fully loved and fully approved by you. Thank you, Lord, for those truths. And as we come to the table today, as we remember the body and the blood of our Savior that was sacrificed for us, Lord, might you continue to do your work in our heart to draw us closer to you and further from the things of this world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.